In John chapter number 13 this morning, in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands." Look at this statement right here. I never did catch this till last night. That he was come from God and he went to God. Did you know every one of us come from God and we're going to God? Say amen. And Jesus come from God, and he went to God. He riseth from supper, and he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus saith to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you're not all clean." I'm going to stop reading right there. We're going to begin in this chapter and see what the Lord would have to say to us today. We may go on down through the chapter. I'm not sure how the Lord will lead. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would, Lord, just bless these dear people that have gathered here today. God, I know today, Lord, that you are on our minds. And Lord, even more importantly than that, we are on your mind this morning. God, I pray this morning, Lord, for those that have had surgery, those, Lord, that will be facing surgery this week. God, we pray, Lord, for traveling mercies to and from the hospitals. And Father, we pray, God, that you'll raise them up that are in the hospital. God, we pray, Lord, that you'll lead and guide the doctors, nurses, their hands as they work with folk. God, we pray this morning, Lord, that you'd do an operation in our hearts. Lord, I know, Lord, that, Lord, you're not looking at the outward man. Lord, you're looking at the heart. God, you know the need this morning. And I pray, Father, that every need would be met through our Lord Jesus, in whose name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. Take your Bibles and turn back over to the Psalms and look at chapter 90 for just a moment. Psalms chapter 90. And I want to preach for a little while this morning, and I'm not sure how it's going to go. I may be in this chapter this evening as well. But I just want to mind the Lord and share some truths with you that the Lord has put in our heart. In Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 12, the Bible said, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I want to ask a question this morning. If today was your last day, could you say that you have applied your heart unto wisdom? If today was your last day, could you say that, well, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand what that has to do with this text." Jesus said his hour has come, and your hour is coming too, and mine is too. Say amen. This thing is not going to go on and on and on here on planet Earth. There's going to be an end. And the Bible said, as Jesus come to the end, I want us to notice several things in this text and even into the next chapter. I want us to notice some things. The Bible said as he's coming down now,
His hour has come. He's going to depart out of the world. You remember several times they tried to take him. Several times they wanted to kill him. And several times Jesus said, mine hour is not yet come. But now he's telling his disciples gathered in this upper room, it's time now. Mine hour has come. And I want you to understand some things in the life of Jesus and in the life of these disciples that I believe will help us when our hour comes. The first thing that I see here is our Lord's compassion for his own when that hour comes. The Bible said here in verse number 1, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Can I say this to you this morning? There's a lot of things changing as we near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thank my God as I read my Bible last night, there's one thing that's not changing and not going to change. He loves his own, and he'll love them all the way, even unto the end. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us alone. He's going to go with us all the way, and he's going to love his youngins all the way, even unto the end. You see, the disciples had no idea. They had been enjoying Jesus' company. They had been enjoying the miracles and seeing the Lord heal and seeing the Lord provide for people. But here in this text, Jesus is trying to help them to understand it's not always going to be like it has been. Things are fixing to change. Amen. I'll say this morning. There have been some times in this pulpit that I've said some things that I guess let you know that I disapproved of what was going on in our government. Say amen. I don't try to hide that, but I'll say this morning. I thank God last week that our president decided, amen, that it was time that that black flag over there had flown high enough, long enough, and started shooting at it. Say amen. That outfit that said, hey, they're bragging, they're going to hang that thing in the White House. How the comes all of a sudden, Brother Houston, they've decided they better take it down off their tanks and they better take it down off their trucks. Amen. I say, preacher, what's that got to do with this message? I'm telling you, we're living in the end times. Amen. And I just thank God, amen, that we still, my friend, have a country that understands a little bit of right from wrong. I've been praying for those people that's gathered on that mountain. And think about your family being gathered up there. You'd want somebody to shoot at the enemy too, amen? Jesus here in the end, one thing for sure, he loves them all the way to the end. I'll guarantee you this, you could go down through there. And I believe this, even in the heart of Judas, if you would ask Judas, does he love you? I believe even in the heart of Judas Iscariot, he would have said, yes, the Son of God loves me. You say, preacher, why do you believe that? Well, you remember the rich young ruler that would not, my friend, he went away sorrowful. That Jesus, the Bible said, the Word of God said, and beholding him, he loved him. He rejected Christ, but Christ still loved him. And I believe Christ still loves those, amen, even though they don't receive him. I believe with all of my heart that love will stand against them in the judgment one day after a while. He said before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own that were in the world. He loved them unto the end. You know what I believe as the end draws nigh? I believe with all of my heart we need to concentrate on this fact. He loves me. And I believe with all of my heart we need to concentrate on this fact. We love him because he first loved us. I believe with all of my heart this morning that God's love can help us through these trying times that we're about to see in this world that we live in. Amen. A lot of things are changing. A lot of situations are changing. The economy's changing. The laws are changing. But thank God there's one thing that will never change, and that is he loves you and he loves me and he'll be there for us. Amen. All the way. Sister Kathy asked me the other day, she said, preacher, how do you think it is? She was talking about her nephew, Mike. She said, do you think the angels came and got him and took him home? Mike died with a testimony that he knew Christ as his Savior. And I said, well, Sister Kathy, I know that the Bible said there that when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But I said, you know, I'm looking for a little more than that. Over there, I believe in the Word of God in the book of Psalms. The Bible said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I tell you, thank God my shepherd's going to be escorting me across that river. I said, Sister Kathy, it's hard for me to believe that he would go with us all the way, even to the end of the world, and walk us right to the edge of the river and then have us cross on our own. No, hallelujah. He loves us, and he's going to go with us across that river. He loves us this morning. I don't know about you, but that helps me. That helps me to know that he loves me. Mine hour, he said, has come. It's finally here, fellas. They didn't understand, and he knew they didn't understand, but that didn't keep him from loving them and trying his best to explain to them. Let me give you something else that we need this morning. Not only do we need our Lord's compassion in these last days, but we need our Lord's cleansing in these last days. I want you to look with me here, if you will, in verse number 2. The Bible said, in supper being ended, the devil now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, the Bible said, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments. And he took a towel and he girded himself. Let me just say this. We're going to read on down into this in just a minute. But you see, our Lord is more than just talk. He didn't just say in verse number 1, having loved his own, he loved them till the end. When he rose up from the table and he took a towel and he girded himself, you know what he's fixing to do? He's fixing to prove, amen, exactly what he had just said. I'll say this, friend. It's one thing to say you love the church. It's another thing to prove you love the church. It's one thing to say you love the brethren. It's another thing to prove you love the brethren. It's one thing to say you love the Bible. It's another thing to prove you love the Bible. It's one thing to say, my friend, that you love your family. Amen. It's another thing to prove that you love your family. Our Lord didn't just say that he had compassion and having loved his own, they had a need. And you say, preacher, what was their need? Their need was cleansing. You say, preacher, did they need to be cleaned all over? No. There's an illustration going on here in the scripture. In those days, they would go to the bathhouse and they would take a bath. But when you walked across that dusty ground and earth going back to the house, your feet would get dirty just going from the bathhouse. I mean, listen, if you've ever been in a campground, you know what that's about. Amen. And listen, Jesus knew that their feet needed to be washed. He took on himself the form of a servant. He's saying, hey, I'm not just saying that I love you. I'm going to serve you and prove that I love you. And there's also a truth being painted here in the Word of God. Once we've been saved, amen, our sin has been forgiven. It's been taken away once and for all. But once in a while, on a daily basis, we still need cleansing, amen, because our feet get dirty in this old world that we live in. Amen. And Jesus said, down there towards the end, there's compassion, and we need that. But there's cleansing, and we need that. You know what I'm worried about? Listen, maybe I should use the word concerned about. I'm concerned that we're living in a generation. I'm talking about God's people that just seemingly day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, they just never see a need for anything to be cleaned up in their life. Amen. I want you to know this. I believe with all of my heart, it's an impossibility to live in this sin-benighted world that we live in and not get dirty once in a while and have to have a Savior gird himself and wash our feet and help us that we might have fellowship with him. Once again, I'll tell you, there's a picture being painted all the way through this text. Really, I struggled as coming out of Wednesday night. Why does the Lord love us? Why is there that compassion there for us even all the way to the end? I tell you why. Because he wants to fellowship with us. Amen. And he wants us to fellowship with him. He wants us to be together with him. Why do we need cleansing? Because without that cleansing, we can't fellowship with him. He said, your iniquities had separated between you and your God. I believe with all of my heart this morning that when something gets in our heart that doesn't belong there, it's only the Holy Spirit that can point it out. And only the Lord can forgive us and cleanse us and take it away. Amen. That we might have that fellowship with him. The Bible said here, he poured water into a basin. And he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. I'll just say this morning. We don't believe that this is an ordinance of the church. The Lord's Supper and baptism are the two church ordinances. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe with all of my heart that God's people that are in love with the Savior will do whatever's necessary. I'll give you an illustration of that. When I was in a wreck years ago, 7 years ago in July, the nurses never bathed me. The orderlies never bathed me. Nobody ever touched me. My children washed my hair and washed my face and my head and my neck. My wife cleansed me and helped me with my body. And I'm telling you, I had my friend, listen, a family that loved me and stood by me. Amen. You say, preacher, what would it have done if they just washed your feet? Well, it would have left the rest of me dirty. Say amen. I'm telling you, they were just doing what needed to be done. And I believe when we fall in love with the Lord Jesus, we're not going to just quit with what we want, but we'll do whatever needs to be done. And our brother in our sister's life, amen, we'll just do what needs to be done because we have compassion on them, because he had compassion on us. Our Lord's compassion, our Lord's cleansing. He was willing here. Peter said, Peter's always the one jumping up, isn't he? Peter said, well, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And I understand. Listen, Peter, I can understand his heart a little bit as we think about what's in his heart and in his mind. He's saying, Lord, you're the Lord. You don't have no business doing that for me. I might be doing that for you. But Peter said, listen, Jesus said, I'm trying to teach you something, Peter. Listen, if you're going to be my friend, the greatest, you're going to have to be a servant to all. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, our Lord Jesus here is teaching Peter a lesson and teaching the disciples a lesson that as it comes closer and closer to the end, listen, apply this in your life. Amen. When we were started out raising our children, we weren't thinking about nursing homes. Amen. We weren't thinking about hospitals. We weren't thinking about ICUs. But as we go on up and we grow in age, I'm telling you, listen, the more we understand that our friends and our loved ones, my uncle now is laying up there in Abingdon, nearing the shore. Amen. I'm just telling you, God is saying, hey, as we get closer to the end of our way, we need to have that compassion and we need to be cleaned up that we might be used of God for his honor and for his glory. The Bible's teaching us here that our Lord's compassion, we need that unto the end. Our Lord's cleansing, we need that unto the end. We'll need that unto the end. Jesus said in verse 10, he that is washed needeth not to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. You're clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Can I say this morning? You say, preacher, how could Jesus know that? Because he knows everything. He knows in this building this morning. Brother Brian showed me a while ago, there are over 200 people in this building this morning. Jesus knows who is clean. And Jesus knows who is not. Jesus knows who belongs to him. And Jesus knows who does not belong to him. Jesus knows who belongs to him, but they need their feet washed. They've gotten their feet dirty. Their heart's been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But there's things going on there in their life that's displeasing to him. He knows all about that. And the grand thing to me is that he knows all of that. and he still would not make one bit of difference in any of us. He loves every one of us. And whatever we need, he's willing to provide this morning. I believe with all of my heart, the greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. Jesus didn't just say he loved us, he proved it. And I believe in these last days, as we near the end, we near that hour, my friend, when we're going to leave out, when we're going to meet him, we need to be more about his business. We need more of his compassion, more of the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We need to make sure that we're clean. We need to make sure that we're in fellowship with him. The Bible said in verse 12, after he washed their feet, he'd taken his garments and he was set down again. He said unto them, know you what I've done unto you? Watch this now. He said, you call me Master and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I tell you this morning, Jesus is saying, I've set the example. I've cared for you, fellas. Now you're going to have to go out of this room. You don't understand it now. I'm not going to be with you much longer. My hour has come. Whither I go, you cannot come. But you're going to have a ministry, and that ministry is going to stretch out over the globe. He said, here, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. I believe Jesus is a perfect example, don't you? The Bible said in verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Let me just say something the Bible way this morning. Listen to me carefully right here. There's a wonderful spirit in our church. There's a wonderful spirit among our men as we work together and labor together. But if any of us ever get the idea, I'm too good to do that job, then we're in trouble. I tell you what's the truth. If we'll look at our Lord and see, hallelujah, that he was willing to gird himself and get down there and wash our feet. Amen. My friend, there should be nothing that we're not willing to do if it'll help somebody else along life's way. Amen. Our Lord was a servant. He was Lord. Yes, he was. He was Master. Yes, he was. He said, but I've given you an example to follow. I believe with all of my heart, God wants us to be conscious of that example as we are coming near the end of this age that we live in. We see his compassion. We see his cleansing. We see here, watch this now. In verse number 16, he said, the servant's not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, he said, happy are ye if you do them. Can I just say this morning? I'm not going to be before you much longer. But there's a lot of miserable people in Kingsport. There's a lot of miserable people in Tennessee. And you want to know why they're miserable and why they're not happy? Because they know what's right, but they won't do it. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye. I mean, there are people that know they ought to read that Bible, but they don't read it. They know they ought to pray, but they don't pray. They know they ought to care about their neighbor and care about their mom and their dad and care about their loved ones, but they don't do it. Amen. There are people that know they ought to go to church, but they don't do it. There are people that know what's right and know what's wrong. But Jesus said it's not enough just to know it. He said, happy are ye when you do it. Be not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word of God. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm more determined than I've ever been in my life. I want to do what God wants me to do. I believe with all of my heart, his compassion drives us. Amen. It drives us. Jesus, or Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for the love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge. If one died for all, how many believes he did? He said, then we're all dead. We were all dead in trespasses and sin. And we all needed somebody to help us. We all needed, my friend, somebody to love us. And our Lord challenges us. He said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I've chosen. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. The disciples did not have a clue what was going on right here. But Jesus said, hey, I'm going to tell you. So when he comes up and gives me a kiss on the cheek and betrays me, amen. Listen. When they come to arrest Jesus in the garden, he spoke to them and they fell backwards. He didn't have to go. Say amen. He went willingly. Amen. He gave his life. They didn't take his life from him. He gave his life for you and for me. Amen. I believe with all of my heart this morning, he's saying, fellas, you don't understand now. This building is full of teenagers and young people, even younger than the teenagers. And there's a lot of things, my friend, that they don't understand right now. But you and I that's been down this road a little ways, we ought to be setting the example for them every day of our life. They ought to look at us and say, that man prays. That man loves God. That man is faithful to the Lord. That man is faithful to his wife. That man is faithful to his family. That man is faithful to the Lord God that bought him and paid for him on Calvary's cross. I believe with all of my heart, his compassion will help us in these last days. His cleansing will help us in these last days. But that challenge, he said, you know, right? If you know these things, he said, happy are ye if you do them. I want to say this to you this morning. There is no true and genuine joy apart from obedience. We must obey the Lord. Amen. If we know what's right, the only way that we're ever going to enjoy the fullness of his joy is to do what we know is right in our heart and in our life. Keep short accounts with God. Jesus said there's cleansing for those that need cleansing. There's salvation for those that need salvation. Judas, he died without God. He went to his own place, the Bible said. I believe with all of my heart, there are people in Kingsport that are dying without God. We got to keep going. Amen. Brother Brian mentioned this morning, he said, preacher, our visitation. In other words, what he's thinking in his heart, I believe I'm right, is God's letting us see a little bit of fruit of our labor. Amen. We're just getting started, folk. Amen. Listen, we want to love them to the end, don't we? We want to go get them to the end. Amen. We want to preach to the end. We want to do what's right to the end. Our Lord did. He left us an example. And you and I can do the same thing by the grace of God. Let me show you something right here, and I'm done this morning. The Bible said, now I tell you, before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. You see, God sent us. And when people will receive us, they're receiving him. I remember over there in the Old Testament, the Lord told that man of God, let's see, I can't remember who it was. I believe it was Samuel. That's right. He said, they've not rejected you. They've rejected me. Amen. And how important it is for us to be an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. You see, Jesus would say this morning, your hour's coming. If your hour comes, are you ready? Are you one that has been born again, or are you one like Judas? You're walking with them, and you're talking with them, and you're acting like them, but you're not one of his disciples because your heart has never been changed. I believe with all my heart, he knows. I don't know. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. Amen. You can't fool the Lord. He knows whether you've been born again. And we that are born again, he knows if we're clean. He knows what's going on in our life. Amen. And I tell you, I believe there's a lot of things that's hindering us from the fullness of His joy in this generation that we live in. Things that we could just carry to Him and He would take care of it and wash it all away and give us that brand new start that we might have fellowship with Him. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for Jesus, our Savior, for His compassion. Thank You for His cleansing. Thank You, God, that He challenged us. Lord, if we know these things. Lord, there's a lot of people trying to be happy apart from obedience. But God, we'll never be happy. We'll never have true joy and fullness of joy until we learn, Lord, to obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, I pray this morning, have Your way in this invitation. Show us, God, Lord, what You see, not what others see, but what You see. Show us, our Father, ourselves in the light of Your Word. Help us, our Lord, Lord, to be full of Your joy, to be full of Your love, to be full of the peace that passes all understanding. God, I do pray for Israel. I do pray, our Father, for those Christians that are gathered on that mountain. Lord, they're not all Christians, but God, You've got some youngins up there. Some that love You, some that won't deny You, some that would rather die, Lord, Lord, than to denounce the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask You, Lord God, today, help us, Lord, in America. Help us to return to the God of our fathers.